Good day, I'm Jackie Judd with Health on the Hill. Today, a conversation about President Obama's speech before Congress last night, where he outlined his vision of healthcare reform. Joining me as always, Mary Agnes Carey of Kaiser Health News and Eric Pianin, also of Kaiser Health News. Welcome to you both. General impressions first. Eric?
Well, I thought that the president had a big challenge awaiting him when he reached the Hill last night, which was basically to call the Democratic troops to action and to, in a sense, reaffirm what the Democrats' goals and mission was in trying to recast health care reform this year. And I think that in a lot of ways he achieved both goals. I mean, I think he gave a very clear explanation of what he saw as the essence of healthcare reform. But he also pushed back a little on his critics who had been beating up on him pretty well during
August. He said, I'm going to call you out.
He said he'll call out his critics when they misrepresent what he's suggesting. And also, he made it clear he really didn't want to talk to people whose mission or calculation was to bring down the healthcare reform plan. But he also showed a flexibility that I think was probably important in dealing with conservative Democrats and moderate Republicans in trying to fashion some kind of a compromise.
Mary Agnes?
I think he also spoke very powerfully to the voters. He talked about he wanted to reassure people, especially who have their health insurance, we're going to work with more you'll get more security and stability with his ideas. He talked a lot about his proposals for a plan. But I thought he was masterful in pointing out these examples of people who had their health care delayed and their health conditions worsened or may have even died because of a concern about health insurance, whether or not they were covered. I think he really tried to put in the technical elements to appeal to Congress to say, look, I want a bill that has an individual mandate, an employer mandate. He got that price tag out there of $900 billion. He tried to lay out the parameters to guide the members of Congress on what he expects to see in a bill. But I think he really tried to appeal to the American public.
Near
the
Including older voters.
Exactly. Said to Medicare, you know, you're not going to be hurt.
Looked this into the camera
exactly.
for a moment. Right.
He appealed to them. He talked about to people, what are we in America? Is this the kind of country where people who, if you don't have health insurance, shouldn't get health care? I mean, I think that's what he was trying to say. And he knows with the bad economy, a lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people have lost their health care. He said it could happen to anyone.
And I should mention, just this morning, the Census Bureau came out with its uninsured figures. In 2007, it was 45.7 million Americans. Last year, it was 46.3 million Americans, a change of 600,000. And even that doesn't reflect the depths of the recession.
Right. That's a 2008 number. It's a snapshot. Were you insured at some point during the year? I think proponents for reform will say this is a slight increase, but it's only gotten worse with the recession. It's only gotten worse through 2009, and that will put additional pressure on lawmakers to step up and try to decide what type of health care reform they want to pass this year, if, in fact, it happens.
And you mentioned, Eric, the point of flexibility. The president in particular showed flexibility when he was describing the possibility of a public option. Walk us through that.
Well, I think he did. I think he cited several areas where he would show some flexibility, or at least, reflecting the concern of his critics. One would be on spending. If the plan got out of control, if spending got out of control, he would consider going back and making additional spending cuts. Tort reform. This is an area that the Republicans are very concerned about. They think a lot of money could be saved if you could limit the size of settlements against doctors. But finally, on probably the most important issue, which is whether or not to include a public insurance option in this bill, he made it clear, first of all, he is in support of that, and that was important to an important message to get across to liberal Democrats, and he got some cheers for that. But he also pointed out that it was not the end-all and be-all of health care reform, and that it was an important vehicle, but there were other options, too, that he was willing to look at. So he even opened he even sort of gave a nod to Olympia Snowe, the Republican senator from Maine, who was talking about some kind of a trigger mechanism that would essentially hold the public option in abeyance, give the insurance industry several years to show that it intended to carry out all the reforms it's been talking about and make affordable insurance available to the millions of Americans who don't have it now. And then if they don't, you know, if they don't achieve those goals, then you step in with this public option.
I guess all lawmakers are not created equal. And there is a lot of reporting today, including your own, that part of the reason he phrased it this way was to attract Senator Olympia Snowe. Why has she become such an important vote in this?
Because there's great interest in getting Republican support. It doesn't seem like it's going to happen in the House. The hope is that it will happen in the Senate. But there may also be some difficulty in some more liberal Democrats who may be very upset if, in fact, the final bill does not have a public option. So he may need Republicans for that as well. But they really want to get bipartisan support. They want to attract Republicans. If Olympia Snowe votes for this, that may mean some other Republicans come along, which is a goal for Democrats, definitely in the Senate, for President Obama, to have Republican support. Let's remember, if in fact health reform passes, it's going to be tough to get it passed, but then you've got to implement it. And the more bipartisan support you have, the better that is in the years ahead to confront issues which will happen with implementation, as they always do, especially for anything that would surround health care reform, which would be, you know, it's a very sweeping issue, a very emotional issue. And as they implement the bill, you want to be able to say to a Republican, you supported it, help us with this issue, let's examine a way to fix this, whatever. So I think that's another reason why they want Republicans on board.
It was interesting to watch the scene on the floor last night and, like, who was sitting next to whom. And I noticed that Olympia Snowe and Orrin Hatch were seated next to each other. And, I mean, I think that's kind of significant. Orrin Hatch was one of those Republicans that the administration was sort of counting on to possibly work out some kind of a compromise.
And a close friend of Ted Kennedy.
And a very close friend of Ted Kennedy, and he had worked with Kennedy on previous legislation in a bipartisan way. Orrin Hatch got frustrated or turned off by the whole process and basically pulled out of the negotiations. Olympia Snowe has stayed in. And she is sort of staying the course, and she's probably the administration's best hope for getting some element of bipartisanship into legislation coming out of the Senate.
I want to stay on this idea of a potential trigger for one more moment. Both of you spoke with analysts outside of Capitol Hill about the upsides and the downsides of a trigger. What are they?
Well, no one's really a huge fan of it. I mean, if you're a fan of the public option, you want that option available right away to everyone to provide choice. If you're an opponent of it, you don't want it to happen in any way, shape, or form. And there was one, some analysts expressed concern to me that, let's say, for example, that the trigger was activated and the public option was put into a market. How does that shape the market in the future? Could the government leave? Could they not leave? What does that mean? There may be some ramifications. There's also concern about this issue of affordability. There may be elements, there are proposals in both bills that, in the mind of the insurance industry, will increase the cost of insurance. And so if insurance is more expensive, the affordability threshold is higher to reach. Therefore, the public option could be triggered sooner rather than later. So there are a lot of concerns about the implementation. Of course, the details on this can change. It's not really clear yet how it would go into the bill, if it goes into the bill. But there's definite concern about government involvement in providing health insurance.
Right. And proponents of a public option say that for it to be effective, it ought to be put into effect right away, you know, at the front end, not at sort of the back end of the process.
A final question for you both. Both of you have covered Capitol Hill for so many years now. Do you view last night's speech, the morning after, as a game changer?
I think it is, in the sense of the passion the president brought to it. He's made it clear, I want this done. This is the time to deliver. He repeated several lines along those lines that, mm-hmm. Congress, this is why you're here. This is what people expect from you. But a wonderful, powerful speech, as good as it is, doesn't substitute for the hard work of counting those votes, knowing where the support is, where it isn't. And I think that it has certainly given a lot of motivation to people to look at this again, to get this back on track after the August recess. We've talked a lot about these town hall meetings and a lot of things where people felt Democrats and the president lost the momentum. I think he's back on top now with this, but we'll have to see how it plays out because it's going to be a pretty tough fall.
Final word.
I think there was a sense of things spinning out of control over the summer, and that the Democratic approach lacked a certain focus or coherence. It was too many things going on in too many different venues, too many different proposals, which
and not enough direction from the White House.
Not enough direction from the White House. It made it easy for critics to cherry pick issues that they wanted to go after and ignore others. I think what the president did last night was to step up to the plate. Once again, give a very coherent description and explanation of what it is he and the Democrats were attempting to achieve, and basically putting a lot of pressure on Democratic leaders now to get back to work, to get these bills acted on this fall. Vice President Biden was on television this morning saying he thinks that maybe by Thanksgiving there will be legislation. But anyway, it's sort of giving people a little kick in the pants and tell them to get going.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you both, Eric Pianin, Mary Agnes Carey. I'm Jackie Judd, and thank you for joining us.